Hello and welcome back everyone to the Modern Mastery Podcast. We have Joey and myself for Co and Joe. I believe we're going to stick with calling it that, or at least it's just Co and Joe. We're here to sit around and talk and have a good time. And we have decided, as discussed in the previous episode, we are starting a series on human potential. And I don't think there's any better way of starting this off than talking about the tweet that was posted today from the guy that I don't even know his name, but he studies human potential or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's dive into that. Let's just rip that apart real quick. God.
Okay. Do you know his name?
Scott Barry Kaufman, PhD.
PhD. Let's see.
He deleted it.
No.
He deleted it. I screenshotted it. So let's just dig in the old pictures here. Where is it? Where is this?
So for those listening, the first line of his bio, founder, Center for the Science of Human Potential.
Yep. Scott Barry Kaufman, PhD, is the author of three books, the latest of which is Transcend, the New Science of Self-Actualization, on sale now. 63,000 followers, host of the Psychology Podcast.
The Psychology Podcast? Oh, wow. It really is.
Yep.
Okay.
So, for those who didn't get a chance to see this, you're lucky. At 9:46 p.m. Eastern Time, July 6th, 2021, Dr. Kaufman posted, "Let's normalize feeling dead inside."
Dude, I saw that and like I didn't even look at this guy's profile, right? I saw someone that I followed like replied to it, like, delete your account. And then another person was like, this is poison to the mind. Like, delete this immediately. And then when I looked at it, it was funny because we decided to start this series on human potential. And he just so happens to be the founder of the Center for the Science of Human Potential. So what, as a psychology buff, Joey, what are your thoughts on this? Do you think, because as a reply to the tweet, he said that, like, he added some nuance, but I think it was fucking terrible nuance where.
Yeah, it was. He said, "It's been a hellish year for so many people. No need to pretend with each other. Connection can arise most deeply from not pretending. Much love."
Yeah. I don't understand. And he wrote a book called Transcend.
Yeah.
And I literally put that in my bio today. Like,
yeah.
I guess I can see where he's coming from, but it's just a very, very bad way of wording it. Right.
It's because a very, like, bad way of, yeah.
Let's normalize it. Like if you feel dead inside, okay, cool. Like, that happens at times. Right. But normalizing it as like a feeling that you should get used to, it's difficult to navigate that. You know what I mean?
Therein lies part of the nuance. Like, okay, let's normalize this feeling in general. Like, if you just feel dead inside all the time, that's not something that should be normalized at all. But normalizing hey, it's been a rough past 18 months. Like, you know, we've been cut off from human connection, which is really bad for us as humans. You know, it's okay to feel bad sometimes, and I highly encourage, like, we should acknowledge those feelings, but we should process them. We should deal with them. Right. And the way I and many others seem to have taken that tweet was, let's normalize this. Like, it is what it is. You know, I was talking to, I'm not going to call them out, but I was talking to somebody, another psychology enthusiast in the Modern Mastery community about it, because I sent it to them, a screenshot, like, immediately after. because we like to roast bad psychology takes all the time. And I sent it to them, and they were like, that's actually really hurtful advice. And I agree, because it's like, if I came to you and I was complaining about something and I was telling you like, hey man, like, honestly, I feel hopeless. It's the equivalent of you being like, yeah, man, you're right. Like, everything sucks. Like,
right.
It's normal. Like, there's no hope. You know, yeah. That's how it feels. And that it's just so soft is the thing, you know, like, I know that that statement could be taken maybe different ways, but it's just very, it's very soft, and humans are better than that. And I would expect a PhD to know better. I would expect somebody with a podcast who's conversed with people like Andrew Huberman and many others to know better. I don't understand. It's like, I don't know if he has like a ghostwriter or something and they messed up, or I don't know.
Yeah. So how would we spin it? Let's normalize doing something about feeling dead inside.
Well,
no.
I feel like, again, we should acknowledge these feelings.
Right.
But then do something about them.
Right.
And it's okay for that to be that something to be reach out for help. Mm-hmm. Maybe not Dr. Kaufman, obviously, but reach out to someone for help, talk to them, and chart a course towards feeling alive inside again. If you're feeling dead inside, or you're feeling negative, or however you would communicate your personal feelings right now, this doesn't mean anything's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with that. And I highly encourage people who feel that way to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. It's important to say, okay, this is what I'm feeling. This is what it is. What can I do about it? That's the important part. And the way I took this statement of let's normalize this was, it's okay.
Right.
Yeah, it's kind of like that.
Well,
good.
Well, now I'm thinking from like an awareness perspective, where like a general practice for like observing your thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to judge them.
Right.
You are not supposed to just immediately react to them. You're supposed to take a step, like zoom out and view them for what they are. Just a thought that could possibly trigger an emotion, that could possibly trigger a feeling. And so I understand, like, because him saying normalize, the word normalized, he's probably trying to just like say something that could have been helpful, but he's using normalize because that tends to go viral on Twitter, or right, at least semi-viral. It's like a high engaging word. And it kind of makes sense to me, because like normalization, the word is kind of like, oh yeah, don't treat it. Don't take it too seriously. Right. And that's the whole awareness thing, where you're like observing from the outside. It's like, I guess, yeah, like normalize having it in your head, but be aware of it and understand that, understand it for what it is, and then do something to get yourself out of that situation and change that thought, or not necessarily change that thought, but just observe it and let it pass through.
The way I took it was, as far as normalization, was let's normalize it. And if everyone feels that way, that's okay. Like, that's just normal.
Right.
Yeah. And again, it's not that there's something inherently wrong or bad about it, but that's, I mean, saying that you feel dead inside is objectively a very negative feeling, right? So the person who feels that way isn't having a pleasant life experience, right? Mm-hmm. So if you feel that way, it's acceptable, but let's do something about it. You know, like let's help you. Let's change that feeling instead of just letting it be that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It struck me especially hard because in our community, for those who don't know, called Money Twitter, there's a lot of very bad mental health takes. So there's this somewhat meme, somewhat serious trend of saying like men will literally do X instead of going to therapy. And those tweets are kind of funny sometimes because they're obviously memes, but other times it's like men will literally work out instead of going to therapy. Men will literally disappear for 6 months and work on their business instead of going to therapy. And these tweets are clearly, like the ones that aren't memes, are clearly written by people who have very little understanding of mental health. Like they obviously don't really even understand their own mental health. So as somebody who actually understands psychology and neuroscience and understands how human beings work, mm-hmm. it's frustrating to not only see these kinds of ignorant takes, but that brand's followers are also like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
You know? So then it kind of normalizes this belief that therapy is bad and therapy is ineffective. When therapy is, at least, especially talk therapy, is extremely effective because most people, most men, don't really have anybody that they can talk to about problems. And they don't really have anybody with the experience and expertise to help them process their problems, right? Because it's one thing to talk through a problem that you have. It's another thing entirely to actually be able to communicate with somebody, converse with somebody who can help you break down and process the things that you're feeling.
Right.
So it's just, I don't let it bother me. I don't start arguments with anybody, but I pay attention to who says that kind of thing.
Yeah. So the thing that comes to my mind, and I don't know if we've made this like public, but like you're the psychology guy. I'm mm-hmm. more so the spiritual guy. Like I just love reading about that shit and like putting it into practice because it's had such a profound impact on my life. And I would think that a lot of the spiritual teachings are backed by psychology, or at least the ones like they can be made sense of with psychology to an extent. And so what I've been reading, what I'm almost finished with, is The Way of the Superior Man. And it talks a lot about the differences between masculine and feminine polarity and energy and all of that good stuff. And one of the main teachings is for men, their main focus is purpose, right? It is their purpose. And so that can be found in many, many things. And when things are thrown off, the men tend to gravitate towards, well, they do one of two things. They just go down a loop of self-destruction and fuck themselves over until they pull themselves back out. Or they kind of get obsessed with something because they find purpose in it. So for a lot of people, that's the gym. Like after a bad breakup, they go to the gym, they find purpose in improving themselves, and they get out of the rut that way. So I can understand where they're coming from that. But then in terms of like the feminine energy, which I don't want to speak on because I'm clearly not a female and I can help men the most, but it's like the flow of love. So it's a very different thing that they search for during those times, right? And how would you tie that? Can you tie that to psychology? Like why men specifically, or why men with a majority of masculine energy gravitate towards pursuing something that they can attach purpose to?
Well, first off, I would say that spirituality and psychology certainly aren't, you know, one or the other. I'm a science enthusiast. I've been for most of my life, and I'm also a science communicator, meaning that I, Bill and I, the science guy, stuff that I talk about. But I also recognize that, especially the social sciences like psychology, you know, they are not, certainly not infallible. There's a lot of replication issues with psychology because a lot of this stuff's hard to do. So I'm of the belief that just because some spiritual concept isn't proven by hard science, that doesn't necessarily make it untrue. Perhaps it just hasn't been proven in that way yet, right? Perhaps it hasn't been reconciled yet. I would just say it's good to have a somewhat of a proven track record in a way for certain things before advising them to the masses, right? So that's why I'm very careful about what I advise to the majority of people. Like, if there's some concept with like one study behind it, then I'm not going to make it my psychology fact of the day or something, right? But the stuff that I teach my coaching clients, for example, and the stuff I write about Modern Mastery, that's stuff that's pretty well known and has been pretty well. Like, if it's in a psychology textbook, it's probably pretty solid. But as far as men who gravitate towards finding a purpose, I was actually just talking to a client who was feeling a bit lost because he felt like he didn't really have a purpose. I think we have something of a drive to improve ourselves, especially to elevate our own social status. That's one of our major drives, is to elevate ourselves, or at least maintain our social status in our tribe. And nowadays, with the online world, our tribe could mean our thousands of Twitter followers or the network that we're in on Twitter, things like that. But typically it means, you know, our family, our friends, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I think especially when we get hurt, you know, one of our friends posted a while back about how getting broken up with was one of the best things that ever happened to him. He got hurt and then he started improving himself. And I feel like that's something that we just kind of do because we want to, you know, maintain that status, right? Like, we got rejected, we got hurt, and now we want to recover from that somehow. So that's my first instinct about that kind of thing. But also, I think we gravitate particularly towards the gym because we can really, I mean, I feel like that's the most direct way that we can improve ourselves, right? So we can either improve our bodies or improve our minds, but improving the mind can be a bit more nebulous and ill-defined because it's like, well, how do I improve my mind? What do I start reading that's worthwhile? How do you determine whether something's worthwhile to read or not? Whereas going to the gym is straightforward, right? Like, I'm going to start going to the gym. I'm going to do cardio and lose weight. I'm going to do resistance training and get swole. I'm going to eat better, start taking better care of myself, right? Like, and that starts increasing our self-worth. And I think another big part of it too is when we make progress in something, whatever that something is, we really start getting addicted to the progress. And that's really the place that you want to be when you start working on something new. That's something that I've noticed over the past couple of weeks as I've been improving my own health, is I feel the momentum, both from a diet standpoint, a sleep standpoint, going to the gym standpoint. Like, I feel the momentum and I have these streaks and I want to keep them going. And that alone has helped me make better decisions and it's helped me keep that momentum going. So one or two days of being frustrated and going to the gym or making healthier decisions can lead to months or years or a lifetime of making better decisions.
Yeah. I like that. I like this dynamic. I think we'll refine it over time, but like I want to be very spiritually articulate because like that's just what I do. Like that's what I'm more in touch with. Like I can read the like actionable advice, but for some reason, like the spiritual stuff is just like, yeah, I feel a lot better now after reading that. And that's really it. So like if I can articulate that well and speak to that part of the audience that's listening to this, and then you can kind of like either you translate what I say into psychology or I translate what you say into some spiritual concept, and then we go from there and whatever we can do that. And it doesn't have to be like a set in stone thing, but
that we're working together so much and we will be even more in the future, I knew that that was going to be something that I'd be able to do. So it's something that I will do my best at.
Thank you. I'll do my best too. Cause it keeps me accountable in trying to actually say these things that I have experienced. And yeah, let's dive into the locus of control. Cause we talked a bit and we believe this is a very good starting point for the Human Potential series. Although we've talked about it and what to avoid kind of. So I'll let you start it off. What is the locus of control?
So the locus of control, simplified, is basically, do you feel like you are the driver in life or just a passenger? So your locus of control can be either internal or external. If it's internal, then you feel like you are the driver. You know, it's internal control. You feel like you control your life, your experiences, your environment, people that are around you. You feel like you're the one who played a major role in getting you where you are in life, and you feel confident that you can get yourself where you want to go in the future.
Right.
The opposite is the external locus of control, where you feel like external factors are in control of your life, your environment, your experiences. You feel like you're just a passenger. You feel like you just kind of made it where you are and you don't really know why and you don't really know what the future holds. Mm-hmm. So that's the big difference. And unfortunately, most people are more on the external side.
Yeah.
So they feel like they blame other people, essentially. And it does come down to blame a lot of times. Because the thing about control is it's inseparable from responsibility. So, you know, there's the Spider-Man quote, with great power comes great responsibility. Well, with great control comes great responsibility.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of obvious, like, if you say, okay, I'm in control of my health, and you look at yourself and you're not happy with what you see in the mirror, or you're not happy with how you feel, barring like, you know, diseases and stuff like that. Obviously, I shouldn't have to say that, but barring anything like that, you know, if you have control of it, if you're able to control yourself and what you do, how much you exercise, how much you eat, then you have responsibility over that. So if you're not happy with it, that's your responsibility, but you have control, so you'd be able to change it. And the thing is, accepting that control, well, really accepting the responsibility, because they go hand in hand, that can be a uncomfortable experience, right? Mm-hmm. It can be uncomfortable for us to think about it that way. It can be way more uncomfortable if someone else tries to get us to think that way and go about it the wrong way. Because then our psychological defense mechanisms kick in and we start protecting ourselves without really thinking about it. And it's a mess. That's why I don't get all these gurus, like especially fitness gurus, who talk down to their target audience. You know, they talk bad about them being really fat or being really skinny, dad bods and all that stuff. Like, that's just not a great way to go about getting people to be more aware of stuff. If we help people, gently is not the best word, but if we intentionally guide them to awareness about their situation and empower them, make them feel like, okay, I can change, and maybe I need this shirtless fitness dude number 4,000 to help me, you know, like that's a much better way to go about it. If you're telling somebody like, hey, you're stupid and you're weak for being fat, how is that empowering them to change?
Yeah.
They're going to feel like they can't.
That,
I mean, there are the rare people who are motivated by that kind of thing. I mean, I'm somebody who's definitely motivated by frustration and being doubted by others. We had talked about that a bit this morning. But there, in my experience, there's not too many people like that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've noticed like a big influx of people messaging me too, like, because I started off with, my tone was very similar to a lot of the people's tones on Twitter, where they like, I would say, oh, don't watch Netflix, don't do this, don't do that, like, don't, like, if you watch Netflix, you're accepting mediocrity and whatever and whatnot. And like, when I switched to kind of just tweeting out my thoughts based on like either the content I'm consuming at the time or what I'm learning about or what I'm experiencing, and just tweeting out the raw thoughts, they do better. Like, you, even if it's a one liner, if it's whatever it is, it does better. And people message me telling me how much of an impact it had. Right. And it's a great feeling to go about it that way. And it's really dependent also on what the person's actual personality is, because we have talked about alignment many times. And like, I've came to you and said that I don't feel good because the content I'm putting out isn't aligned with really what I believe, right? Sometimes I fall down the engagement trap. And that's the other thing, is like, if someone could try to tweet like me, but it won't feel good because they're more of an abrasive person that will tweet those things. And there's a market for those. There's a market for the talking down, because they don't view it as talking down. It's kind of motivational to them. But I want to bring something up based on the locus of control, because I wrote a tweet yesterday about this, and it ties in with like both like the subtle art of not giving a fuck and just like not giving a fuck in general. So the tweet says, like, not giving a fuck what people think goes beyond just sounding cool and trendy. You surrender all control that you thought you had over the external world and start paying attention to the limitless potential of your internal world, which is funny because limitless potential, we're talking about human potential, but that's the thing, like the whole, so locus of control, not giving a fuck about what's not in your direct control. And from like a spiritual perspective, you're living. So to make sense of that from the start, the whole like surrendering what's outside of your control, what's external, the things that you don't really have a say in, but you try to like latch onto those, and it causes pain because you're kind of just wasting your energy. You're throwing energy out into the world for nothing in return. And from a spiritual perspective, like even the way that it's thought about in this aspect is that your external world isn't just like things. It's emotions and habits and routines from like your past life or an unpredictable future. So an emotion and a feeling can be clearly, like you can attach yourself to that feeling from the past because you know it. You're somewhat, you're not comfortable with holding on to that negative emotion, but you know what it feels like. And you understand that, like, you just want to attach yourself to it. If you were depressed at one point in previous years, then it's much easier to focus on what made you depressed then, because emotions are a very potent drug, right? And you can kind of get addicted to them in a sense. So you can try to control a situation or a feeling that happened in the past and the present. And that's what also creates that pain in the now, rather than focusing on becoming more present, as is one of the main teachings in spirituality. So that's kind of my take on it. I like all the different perspectives of this because it's really as simple as just don't focus on that. And it's hard to do, and it takes practice and awareness and intention, but that's the first step. So how does that tie into the whole human potential argument? Like, why is this the first step in your opinion?
It's the first step because if you feel like you aren't in control of your life, then how can you possibly think about your potential and where you could go in life?
Yeah.
Like, if you're thinking about life as a river with a strong current and you're in an inner tube just floating along, what's, like, how could you possibly think about going anywhere else?
Right.
Because you're just going to let yourself be swept along with the current and you're going to wind up where you're going to wind up.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's the first step. But if you look at it in a different way and think that there are, you know, branching paths or whatever, then you can start evaluating those paths and looking at, okay, what do I actually control? And what can I do with my current situation, what I have, the hand that I've been dealt, what can I do with that to improve my situation?
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's the very first step. And to clarify, I mean, I know I'm making it sound like it's a binary thing, but there are some things in life that you simply cannot control. Like, there's a tropical storm at the time of recording this. There's a tropical storm that's about to hit Florida, which shouldn't be very destructive. But we can't control that. Right? You know, so it's, I fully admit that there are some things that cannot be controlled at all. But we need to identify the things we can't control and then stop ourselves from trying to control them. And ironic to the current discussion, that's also where a lot of people waste a lot of time, is stressing too much about things that cannot be controlled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what are, I'll start with this. So I know that the best places to start with all of this stuff is the whole mind, body, spirit, and I throw in bank account because I feel like they're all connected. And in terms of modern mastery, they are kind of connected because that's what we're all about, is taking your story and turning it into some form of a business, or at least leverage for a business, because your personal development equals your business development in a sense as an entrepreneur. So the first one, mind, right? Some things that you can do right at this moment is pursue your curiosities. And maybe this is the topic for the next one, because we both know how powerful that is. Did we talk about that last week?
Yeah, we touched on it because we're both reading Art of Impossible by Stephen Kotler. Okay. And he was talking about how curiosity is the very first step for a flow state.
Mm.
So we could discuss the difference between following your passions and following your curiosity. That might be a good one.
Okay. We could honestly break down all of that in like next week. Unless you want to do that now. Is that a short enough topic to do now?
We can touch on it next week. We can start off with curiosity versus passion and then move into something else related to flow, perhaps.
Okay. Yeah. So in terms of mind, pursue your curiosities. Like it's simple, but it's hard to explain because a lot of people, like, they don't pursue their curiosities just because they deny it and they opt for some form of a bad habit that they already have, or they just choose to do something else because they don't know how to go about it. So really, when something pops into your head, when an idea pops into your head, write it down, pull out your phone, your notes, or a piece of paper and write it down, and then either come back to it at a specific time, whether it be at night or during a break during the day, and just research it. Like, dive down the rabbit hole, look up a YouTube video on what to actually do there, buy a book on it so you can start learning from someone who is very knowledgeable in that area. And that's in terms of learning and kind of getting the momentum rolling in terms of pursuing something that you're interested in rather than following the conventional path that someone else has laid out for you. And aside from that, Joey and I would both recommend meditation to calm the mind, journaling, brain dumping to learn how to clear the mind. And then in terms of body, of course, hit the gym. And this is all, I would encourage you to pursue your curiosities after this, right? Like, even us just mentioning the whole mind, body, spirit, bank account, these are all things that you have the opportunity to research and pursue and actually find a game plan according to them, or join Modern Mastery HQ, because we talk about all this stuff and give you step-by-step game plans. But that's the main thing. So body, go to the gym, start going on walks, start understanding proper nutrition and change your diet. In terms of the spirit, again, meditate, start reading some spiritual books or listening to spiritual teachers on YouTube, and then bank account. Understand just general business processes for a product or service business. Understand traffic sources. Understand offer creation and all of that good stuff. Joey, do you think those are good focus areas for this locus of control? Because I've heard many different things. Like, with this one guy that I watch on YouTube, his name is Abdullah Zinab. He says this at the beginning of every video. He says, all you have, like, the only thing you own are your thoughts, emotions, and your fitness, right? Those are the things that you can directly manipulate or manage in a sense to improve your quality of life the most, right? At the end of the day, that's all you have. You have what is right here. You have your brain and you have your body. So directly improve those, and that will improve every other aspect of your life.
Yeah, I agree with that, but that's not all we should focus on. I mean, I immediately, my mind went to things like, you know, your network and stuff like that. So there's kind of a gray area where you can say, okay, well, you know, I can't entirely control these other people, for example. Like, I can't entirely control these people, but I recognize that their knowledge, their skills, their network is something that may be able to help me get where I want to, right? So if you say that, well, I'm only going to purely focus on what I can control, which is yourself, well, then you're going to be turning a blind eye to how you could utilize your network, for example. And especially now in the social media age where everything moves so fast, like, making good use of the people that you know is extremely important.
Right.
So that's just one example where it's still critical to evaluate things on a case-by-case basis, essentially, right? Like, you have to be kind of intentional with this process and see like, okay, well, I can't really control this person. Like they're a little bit chaotic or they're just another human being and I can't control them in general. But I would still be able to, they would still fit into me achieving my potential one way or another.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about that.
Nice. Yeah. And I feel like that comes with time too, or at least like intentional practice, right? If you decide that you are actually going to commit to something like building a business, then networking usually becomes like a pretty good stepping stone to accelerate that process. So I agree. I do think things like networking or like the stepping stones for specific ones to see success in those areas are very good. And for me, it's hard to distill it all down into what you should actually do because there's a lot of shit that you have to actually do, right? There's a lot of steps that you need to take to make this stuff matter, but locus of control, right? It's not something to worry about right now because you probably haven't, I mean, some people have probably taken a step, but a lot of you haven't taken that first step into improving these different areas of your life. Would you?
Yeah. So the key is if you feel like, if you think about where you are now in life, business, health, all the above, and you're not happy with it, think about who got you there. Was it mostly you or was it mostly outside circumstances? And if you feel like it's mostly outside circumstances, okay, maybe it was, maybe it wasn't, but you can start changing the future now. You can start making different decisions. You can evaluate your situation, your environment, the people around you, the skills that you have, the knowledge you have, your physical fitness, your mental fitness. You can evaluate all these things and see, okay, which of these things do I really have control over? And if I do have control over them, how can I start improving them? And then for the stuff that I can control, how can I make the best of it?
Right.
And that's another very underrated skill is how can I make the best of a bad situation I can't control? Because there are some situations like I feel like I came from a crappy situation, but there are many people who came from far worse than I did.
Right.
But how can you make the best of that? Whether it's to improve the situation or get yourself out of it entirely, start thinking about how you can do that, but also maybe find a mentor. And that's so much easier now in the internet age, finding a mentor, like find somebody on Twitter, like message me if you want to on Twitter and ask me questions. I'd be happy to help.
Yeah, but same.
Going back to what I said earlier about like talk therapy and stuff like that, like talking through a situation is so incredibly helpful because from a first person perspective, you're kind of lost in the weeds, right? Like every single little thing seems like it's meaningful. But then when you start talking to another person about the stuff that you're going through, they have more of a like 10,000 foot view. You know, they have a high level view that can start easily or have an easier time seeing like how all these things fit together. And then they can give you input to help you actually get through this stuff. It's incredibly valuable to talk to other people about what you're going through and your situation. They can also help you see things that you actually do have control over that you thought you didn't, which is another benefit.
Yeah, 100%. When I'm feeling down, I just go to fucking Joey. And Joey comes to me sometimes and I try to help. But yeah, man, that all, so we're closing in on 45 minutes, but I'll add one more thing. So about being in that bad situation, there's it's the three modalities of doing from Eckhart Tolle. There's acceptance, enjoyment, or enthusiasm. And one of those should be activated at all times. So if you're in a very shit situation, if you're in a very shit situation, then the only thing you can do really is to try to accept it, right? Because one, you can't do anything about it. It's everything we've just talked about before in terms of the locus of control, what you can control versus what you can't. And if you can't control it, then you need to accept it or try to enjoy it, which is difficult, especially if it's like a bad situation and you can't find enjoyment in it. Like if it's a painful situation, it's hard to find enjoyment in it, but you can accept that situation and decide to change. And then same goes with enthusiasm. I would encourage everyone to read up on this and understand it to a better extent than I'm explaining it. But that's the general idea of it, is like you can either accept the situation or you can try to be enthusiastic about it, which if you kind of force yourself to be enthusiastic about it, that, I don't know the psychological process, but you'll start to feel enthusiastic about it, right? It will reflect in how you feel just by like forcing. It's the whole smile thing, right? Like, oh, if you feel sad, just put a smile on your face and like do something physical to kind of spark that, right? So the three modalities of doing by Eckhart Tolle, I would recommend everyone look that up if you are in a bad situation. And even if you aren't, it's just a very powerful way of going about life.
Yeah. Another big thing related to that is your expectations have a lot to do with your experiences. So there's a concept of the, can't remember off the top of my head what the concept called. It's been debated in psychology whether it's actually a fact or not. But essentially this concept says that suggests that our expectations really define how we will perform. It'll define our experiences. And that's been debated a little bit, but if you think about it intuitively, if you're going on a date and you expect it to go terribly and you're like, man, this girl ain't right for me. Like she has this problem. Like she's going to talk about this, you know, I got a sunburn earlier and she's going to talk about that and she's not going to like me. You know, you start thinking about all these negative things and you go into the situation with negative expectations. Or if you write a article and you do it at the last minute, you think that it's going to go terrible. Those things are probably going to go bad because your expectations change how you act both on a conscious and an unconscious level.
Mm-hmm.
So relating this back, and it's vice versa. It works the opposite way too. Like if you believe that something is going to go well, then you're going to act more confidently and you're going to act more. And therefore it's a higher likelihood of going better. That doesn't mean that it's 100% chance. But you know, if we relate this back to the locus of control, if you look around and you say that, well, I don't have any control over any of this, then it's just going to keep being bad until someone else changes the situation.
Yeah.
But if you look around and say, okay, well, I expect that I have the ability to make this situation a little less crappy, if nothing else, then you'll act accordingly and you'll probably be able to change it to some degree, or at the very least, it'll be a little less hopeless.
Right. Well said. I like that. And I think this could prove to be very powerful for people, especially as a primer, because like it's easy to write a tweet on control what you can control and forget what you can't. But just diving deep into it, it makes it a lot more understandable, especially with Joey's examples. I like those. But that is it for this episode of Co and Joe on the Modern Mastery Podcast. Joey, where can people find you? And then shameless plug.
You can find me hanging out on Twitter, doing my best to control myself and help other people. And I can be found at twitter.com/cypreneur. And for those who don't know me, I am a performance coach for business owners. So I do one-on-one coaching, and I'm also starting the second cohort of my group coaching program in a few weeks. So if you'd like to know more about either of those, you can message me on Twitter or email me at joey@cypreneur.com.
Nice. And then my name's Dan. You can find me at The Dan Co. You probably found this podcast from there, but that's me. Also, Modern Mastery HQ is a community where Joey and I help ambitious individuals build their business and build themselves. I handle the business aspect right now. Joey handles the themselves aspect right now, where Joey's a performance coach. I'm a marketing consultant. I help you build a business as a freelancer, coach, consultant. Joey helps you optimize your life. And it's not TFD anymore. What's your thing?
It's basically proven science-backed methods of improving people or optimizing people's performance.
Right. Optimal performance. So personal development equals business development. We have monthly trainings. We have like 3 articles a week coming out in like business sector and personal development sector. We have monthly challenges. This month is 30 days of reading, where you have to read 10 minutes a day and you post in the accountability channel. And there's just so much more. Like, and another thing we're going to be implementing soon is an initiation fee, because there's just so much content. Like, there's so many trainings and articles that your very first month is going to go up in price to $27, and then it'll be $9.99 recurring after that. But as of right now, it's just $9.99 a month flat. So if you want to join and grow your business, grow yourself, love to see you in there. And then if you want to hire me directly to help you build your business as a creator, coach, consultant, or freelancer, just hop in my DMs and we can do that. But until next time, thank you guys all for tuning in. Next podcast episode will be on Monday. Next Co and Joe will be on Wednesday. So until then, we'll see you later, and see you later, brother Joey.
See y'all. Thanks for listening.